Matthew chapter 8, and then put your finger in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 is where we'll be, but I want us to read Matthew chapter 8, a small portion there first. The name of the message is, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? Oh my. Matthew chapter 8, we'll read verses 23 to 27, and Luke chapter 8 will be where our message will be found. And that will be in verses 22 to 25. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now go over to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And this will be our text for today. Now it came to pass, same story, written by Luke. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. Here before us, in our text, is a beautiful representation of the twofold nature of Christ, right here before us. Behold the man, Christ Jesus, in his human nature, sleeping. He's weary. Just like you and I get tired. He's fully human. But yet, he's fully God. And behold, God incarnate in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ in His divine nature, rebuking the winds and the seas. This is magnificent. We see right here before us His humanity and His divinity very clearly and very plainly. Let the unbeliever look at this and ask himself, who but the Creator could command the mighty waters and the winds to cease? Who but God? We can't do that. But God can. God can. And how does He do it? With a word. Word of His power. Let the child of God see the sweet comfort this passage brings with it. That we trust our eternal souls to the one who can silence the wind and the waves of any storm, of any storm, of all the storms of life. And how does he do it? With a word. By his command. When the ship of life in which we are in, we who are believers, well, we're on the pilgrimage to a better country, which we looked at this morning. And may we maybe in the midst of a storm and maybe taken on water, just like they were taken on water. We may be in the midst of a storm, And it's times like these that we cry out from the depths of our souls, Lord, save me or I perish. Save me or I perish. And remember, beloved of God, that God is with you during these times. Just like He was with the disciples here. And He will bear you and guide you all the way to glory, no matter what storm comes our way. And this He'll do for every single believer. Every single believer. This is what He did for His disciples here when He arose and He rebuked the wind and the sea. And what happened? There was a great calm. There was a great calm. Storms of fear may assail the believer, storms of temptation, but they must all subside at the command of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, He ever watches over us, beloved. We're His sheep. And we looked at today, we may go through some storms, with some heaviness, and times of sorrow, and times of heaviness, seasons of heaviness. But there are only four seasons, beloved. And they stop at His command. They stop. And they're for our good, and for His glory. We don't always see that, but they are. They are. Now let's consider verse 22. And it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples. And He said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forward. Now it says, now it came to pass. Here we are reminded that our Lord came to do the Father's will. Is everything about this event was decreed by God. Everything about this event was decreed by God. And it was recorded for our learning. We can learn from this passage. The Old Testament prophets spoke of the coming Messiah. And here He is. Here He is. Before us in this text. And we know that He came in the fullness of time. When God the Father had appointed all according to His decree. And then it goes, now it came to pass on a certain day when these things happened in this event before us and in all other scriptures, they happened exactly as God said they would happen. And they happened when it's just as He decreed them to happen. And God has not changed. He's the same today as He was yesterday. And He's the same as He'll be forever. He don't change. He doesn't change at all. Not at all. And it says, and it came to pass on a certain day. Now every day is a certain day that the Lord hath made. Every day. God purposed this storm to rise up that Christ may be glorified and that He may be magnified and that His power may be shown. That He's God incarnate in the flesh. And that the disciples might learn and that we might learn, we who are redeemed, to take great comfort from these scriptures before us. That we who are the redeemed of the Lord wake up each morning with this truth in mind. That this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we will be glad and rejoice in it. Pray unto our Savior. Now here's the key too. Pray unto our Savior. For the grace to endure. What God has purposed for us. Okay? Because we don't know what today holds and tomorrow holds. But He knows. And we pray, oh Lord, give us grace. Give us grace to endure what You purposed for us. And He gives us grace, doesn't He? In time of need, let us boldly come before the throne of grace that we may obtain grace to help in time of need. Oh, we go before His throne praying to Him. The text continues. Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples. Now the Lord and His disciples got into the ship. And little did the builder of the ship know that when he was building it, it was going to be used by God for a divine mission. The shipbuilder probably had no idea. Just building the ship. We don't know when the ship was built, but somebody built it. And they had no idea that it was going to be used for a divine mission. And that God was going to use His ship for His particular purpose. Now the disciples, think of this, were in the best of company. They were in the best of company that they could be in. Our Lord went with them into that ship. The eternal Son of God was in that ship with them. They were in the best of company. Right? They were in the best of company. God incarnate in the flesh was with them. And let us remember that our Lord is preparing the disciples for their ministries. They're in training, beloved. They really are. And these events were for their learning and recorded for our learning too. Now these disciples were going to go through some things in the future. But what comfort they could glean when they looked back and said, we're trusting in the one who rebuked the sea and the wind. What comfort they could glean from that. What comfort we can glean from that, beloved. We who are the redeemed of the Lord. Now we know that this little ship was being used for a divine mission. If you read verse, I'm not going to read it today, but 26 to 39 on your own time, we know that this ship was going to be, in the same chapter, this ship was going to be used for a divine mission. Because our Lord was on the way to the country of the Gadarenes. There was a demoniac there. There was one of his lost sheep there. Oh my. This ship wasn't gonna sink. No. The Lord was on a mission. Oh my. And we know that He came to do the Father's will, right? He did. Came to call His people. And to save His people from their sins and to call them out of darkness. Well, that's what He's going to do in this event. He's heading to the land of the Gadarenes to call one of His lost sheep out of darkness, beloved. And this is the will of the Father. And this was the main reason for Him getting on this ship with His disciples. The time of love was appointed for one of His lost sheep. And there was a time of love appointed for every one of us who believe. And that was when the Lord regenerated us. When we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we look to Christ as a time of love, beloved. So there was a reason why He got in this ship. And oh, it's all part of God's eternal decree to save one of His lost sheep that was given to Him in eternity, in the eternal covenant of grace. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We've looked at this verse quite a bit, but I'd like us to look at it right now. God saves us on purpose, beloved. He saves us on purpose. And when did He purpose to save us? In eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us? Christ has saved us and called us with the holy calling. Not according to our works. Well, there goes any kind of works there. Now, works there, works is anything you can do in your mind or physically. So we are not saved in any way by our works. Nothing. We are saved by Christ and by His work and what He did upon the cross of Calvary, dying as the substitute of His people. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. God saves His people on purpose. And when He was in the ship, He was going to the land of the Gadarenes to save one of those lost sheep of His on purpose. Oh, what comfort. What comfort this brings a believer. Purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That which was decreed is going to come to pass. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And this is how we know that this ship was purposed by God to be used for His purpose. And may we marvel as we see here God's eternal purpose at work. We marvel also that our salvation is part of God's eternal purpose. He drew us where we would hear the gospel preached. He bought a preacher there for us to hear the gospel preached. He saved that preacher to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave us hearing ears to believe. He regenerated us by His Holy Spirit. And we look to Christ. And we live. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the wondrous truth of salvation only in Christ and Him alone, regenerating us, granting us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we run to Him. And it's all according to God's purpose. Wonderful. Now note in verse 22, our Lord said, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake," and they launched forth. Now note, He commands here that is what He commands His disciples obey. And obedience requires action. The Word of God tells us to walk as children of light, and walking requires action. And if we love the Lord, we will delight in the Lord. We will love those who He loves. We will love Him, and we will endeavor to obey His Word, won't we? And when we do obey, we realize that it's Christ working in us, because we can't do it on our own. It's Christ working in us. It's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. And He's working in us to do His good will and His good pleasure. Whatever He And we know that there be trials and storms in our pilgrimage here. And many storms will rise out of nowhere, won't they? They rise out. Don't things happen in our lives and they just come out of nowhere? And we were, what in the world? We think, where did that come from? Didn't catch God by surprise, beloved. Not at all. Not at all. Just remember that. When something springs up like that, they just come out of nowhere. But let us draw comfort that our Lord has purposed these storms as well as the sunny days of our lives. Some days are sunny and some days are stormy. But they're purposed by God for us. For us. And He will give us grace. One commentator said, "He'll give us grace to ride out the storms of life until He commands the winds of adversity to cease." He'll give us the grace. He'll give us the strength. And He always does. The psalm I had Brother Tim read today, we saw that our God is absolutely sovereign over all. God makes the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. He's in full control. And let us take comfort that our Lord rides upon every storm that He brings our way. And they were designed to bring Him glory and therefore our good. Now note verse 22 proclaims, our text in verse 22 proclaims that they launched forth. And look at verse 23, we see our Lord fell asleep. Our Lord fell asleep. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Christ the God-man fell asleep. He fell asleep. God never sleeps though, right? Remember, this is the God-man. This shows us His humanity. He's weary, just like you and I. Here we see that Christ was fully man. And we'll see later that He's fully God. The Lord Jesus Christ became a man, but yet He never ceased to be God. But as a man, Jesus grew weary. He had to eat. He grew thirsty. He grew tired. But He was always about the Father's business, because that was what He was sent to do. He hungered and thirsted as any other man. He grew tired and weary as any other man. One commentator brings out that Christ falling asleep on the boat was purposed by God to try the faith of the disciples. Yet, He was tired as He was a man and needed some rest. The humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is here on full display. And soon we will see His deity on display. What a wonderful record we have here before us for our learning. As we remember that this is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed our eternal souls. This is Him. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 121. Let us remember this, though, and this will bring us great comfort, that our God never sleeps, beloved. He never sleeps. Whatever our burdens might be, oh, beloved, be quick to turn them over to our God. Be quick to turn them over to Him, to the Lord, because He never sleeps. Look at Psalm 121, verses 4 and 5. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. How many times have we stayed awake, laying in bed, and just can't sleep because of something that's going on? How many times have... Let me tell you what one grace preacher said. I love this. I love this. If God never sleeps, there's no reason for both of us to stay awake. Try to get a good night's rest. Trust in God to not only take care of our burdens, but to watch over us through the night. Isn't that wonderful? I had to bring that. I thought that was wonderful. Oh, we just need to try to close our eyes. The Lord's in control. He's in control, beloved. Oh my. So let us consider that when a sudden storm comes upon them here. Look at verse 23 again. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind. It's a sudden storm on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now over in Matthew 8:24, it's called a great tempest. It says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So they were taking water on. These waves were high and big, and the wind was just swirling around. A great concussion or shaking of the sea. The stormy wind moved the sea and the waves, and both the wind and the sea shook the ship and all the men that were in it. And Luke in our text calls it a storm of wind. Mark and Luke in both their accounts use the same Greek word for storm, which is laelaps. And it's defined as this: a whirlwind, a tempest wind, a violent attack of wind, a squall, never a single gust, but a steady blowing wind, however violent, but a storm breaking forth from black thunderclouds and furious gusts with floods of rain. Now this storm seems to be more than just an ordinary storm because it was sudden and unexpected. When the disciples entered the ship, it must have been calm. And as they set sail, and think of this, as they set sail, it must have been calm because some of these disciples were seasoned mariners. And don't you think they would have said, well, Lord, there's a storm coming. So from that we can gather that it was probably a calm day when they set out. In several commentators, I read multiple commentators, and they were saying the same thing, These were seasoned mariners. They would not have went out in that boat if there had been a storm coming. And so, this is a sudden storm. This is no ordinary storm. Gill brings this forth. He said, it is said that the tempest arose, came down in our text, not by chance nor by power of Satan, but by divine providence. For the trial of the faith of Christ's disciples, and that he might have an opportunity to give proof of his deity, now think of this, on the sea as he had done it on the dry land. They'd seen his miracles on the dry land, hadn't they? Well, now they're going to see something he ain't never saw before. They're going to see his deity manifest over the winds and the waves. So let us picture this in our minds. There's a very severe storm that's come out of nowhere. Again, some of these disciples were fishermen, experienced mariners. They could normally navigate their way through various things, but they couldn't navigate their way through this. And they probably thought in their minds, things are getting out of control pretty fast here. And the ship is being tossed about, and the winds are howling. The boat's probably starting to fill with water. And humanly speaking, they thought, we're going to die. And we would have done the same thing, wouldn't we? We would. But our Lord was not even disturbed by the circumstances. Not even disturbed by the circumstances that humanly seemed out of control. And again, the disciples thought, this is going to be the end of us. And the Lord's still sleeping. And now what comfort we can glean here, beloved of God, and how this should increase our faith, knowing that God is not the least bit disturbed by the circumstances that seem out of control in our lives. He's not the least bit disturbed by it. No. Things that seem out of control and put our lives in jeopardy, He will keep us until He calls us home, beloved. And think of the calamities which occur in this world. Famines, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, war, evil men waxing worse. The list goes on and on and on. And these things are out of control. They seem like they are sometimes, but they are never outside of God's control. Never. That's comforting. That's comforting for the believer. Everything is under the control of our sovereign God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated upon the throne right now, one commentator said, in perfect serenity. Ruling. Ruling. As His perfect will is being accompanied by His sovereign power, and there is absolutely none who can thwart His hand. That's our God. That's our Redeemer. That's the one who keeps us. We're kept by the power of God. Look at verse 24. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. They were afraid. They were filled with fear. And we would have been too, because we're finite human beings just like them. These men were called to be the Lord's apostle, and now in their ministry, which lay ahead of them, and unknown to them, they would face much danger, beloved. And our Lord is preparing them for that, for those events, with this event. The event that we're looking at today, preparing them for what lay ahead, so they could look back and go, our God, our Savior is the one who calms the waves. Stops the wind by the word of His power. And the Lord is going to teach them who He is and that He has all power. Again, they've seen His miracles on land, but now they see His miracles on the sea. And this would comfort them later, knowing that in all circumstances, our Lord Jesus Christ has all power, beloved. And they will need to know in the future that nothing can happen to them outside of God's permissive will. Through the storms of life rage around them and rage around us, and wicked men thunder against them, all these things were ordained by God. Just as the storm that has come upon them here was manifest, came upon them to manifest the power of God, beloved. To manifest the power of God. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Just before our Lord went to the cross, Calvary, He spoke to His disciples these words right here. And remember, the one speaking to Him is the one who's calmed the wind and the waves. And let us glean from that. The one who keeps our souls is the same one here. John 14, verses 1 to 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, their hearts were troubled during this storm, wasn't it? Their hearts were troubled during the storm. In our text, they were gripped by fear. But they were taught a lesson that they would remember the rest of their lives. That the Lord Jesus Christ can speak peace in any situation we find ourselves in. And only He can make the storms calm. Only He can do that. Only He can bring about great peace. How? By speaking a word. By speaking a word. Our Lord could have calmed the storm any time He wanted. But it was important for the disciples to learn, just as well as us, to come to the Lord for help. You note that? They came to the Lord for help. They had exhausted all their human efforts, beloved. Oh, what a picture of grace and mercy, eh? When the Lord saves us, does He not bring us to an end of ourselves? Where we have nowhere else to go but to cry out, "Lord, save me or I perish. Save me or I perish." And they come to Him. If they could have handled the situation that they were in on their own, they would have done it. But they could not. They could not. And they come to the Lord and cried, "Master, Master, we perish." They came to Him. And this is something they'd never forget. It's something they never forget. They were eyewitnesses to God's sovereign power through the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. And this would help them in the future. Now think of this. We who are redeemed, we've seen the power of God in our own lives, haven't we? We've not seen our King face to face, but one day we will. But He's the one who saved us. He's the one who's regenerated. The Holy Spirit's regenerated. Experienced His power. Oh my. And we wholly trust in Him just as they went to the God-man. They didn't trust in the arm of their own flesh. No. They fled to the God-man. What lessons we can learn here. Sometimes we neglect to come to the Lord for help right away. Sometimes we seek to exhaust all efforts of our own. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. And then we cry out to God. Well, may God give us the grace to go to the Lord first, beloved, and cry out to Him right away. "Lord, save me, or I perish." Cry out to Him for wisdom and strength and grace to help in times of need. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now let us see the marvelous display of God's sovereign power by the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see His divinity on display. Look at verse 24. "And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Master, we perish.' Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm." All He did was speak. All He did was speak. And the winds and the waves obeyed His command. They obeyed His command, beloved. They obeyed His voice, and there was what? The sea was raging. It was raging, beloved. And at His command, it was you ever see water when it's like glass? And there's no, that's what happened. It was calm, beloved. My goodness. Only God can do this. Only God. What an awesome display of the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has. God incarnate in the flesh. We know that He is all power, but here it's on full display. And this should not surprise us because this is the one who said, "Let there be light." And what? There was light. My. Those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God have been taught that the one who rebuked the wind and the waves is the one who spoke all the world into existence. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11:3. Now think of this power which we have here on display and consider why we say that those who say God wants to save you but can't worship a false God. Because the God in our text, just as He rebuked the wind and the waves, can save a sinner just like that. Without you moving a muscle. Without you moving, it's a heart work. It's a Holy Spirit work. He regenerates us. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And this same power, beloved, turn if you would to Romans chapter 1. This same power that's on display here is the same power which we are saved by. Oh, the same power which keeps us, beloved. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. We are saved by God's almighty power. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. It's the power of God unto salvation. The same almighty power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same almighty power that saved us from our sins. And Christ died upon that cross. Now think of that too. The God-man mediator hanging upon that cross, dying as the wrath of God falls upon Him for my sin and for yours who believe. Oh, what power is on display there too. And that God incarnate in the flesh is the one who has redeemed a multitude that no man can number by the shedding of His own precious blood. And then God has raised Him from the grave to show that He is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And the one who died for us is the very one who here rebukes the wind and the waves. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. And our Lord has the right. We see here that this storm was purposed by God. We know that it was purposed by God to try the faith of the disciples and to manifest the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord has a right to try our faith, doesn't He? He does. He does. Anytime He desires. And He does so through trials and tribulations and temptations. We looked at that this morning. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter 1. I know we looked at there in Sunday school, but I want us to read this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. The Lord puts us through some things. And let us remember that the one who has decreed these trials and storms to come our way is the very one who can calm the wind and the waves. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll just read a portion of verse 5. It says, "Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And then verses 6 to 9. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." Oh, I love that song we sang. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Oh, I love that. We've not seen Him, but we love Him. And we will see Him one day, though, beloved. whom having not seen you love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe, and ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is the one who saved us. Turn, if you would, to Luke 8:25. We'll finish this with this verse here. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. Beloved, they're filled with awe at the manifestation of his deity. They are filled with awe at the manifestation of the power that he has. And this same majestic power, again, is that which saves us, that which regenerated us when we were dead in trespasses and sins and had no ability to save ourselves. And this almighty power was exercised in giving us life. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God when we were dead, spiritually dead. And when we are born again by the Spirit, now this fear here is a reverent fear, beloved. It's not a slavish fear. It's a reverent fear. Oh, this is God. They have a reverent fear of who he is. He's being manifested to them. And the believer says, he's being manifest to me. And we have a reverent fear of our Savior, don't we? Not a slavish fear, but oh, a reverent fear. He's holy. He's righteous. He's God. And what mercy we have received, we who are born again, that he has saved us by the shedding of his own precious blood. This is the same one. This one here who has calmed the winds and the waves is the same one that wicked men said he saved others, he cannot save himself. All the while he was saving a multitude that no man could number. And we know that God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And he was raised for our justification. Now here is a question for both saved and lost here today. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? We have seen in the text the humanity of Christ, and we have seen the almighty power on full display in the deity of Christ, calming the wind and the waves. What think ye of Christ? And may we who are redeemed leave here amazed. And may we proclaim along with the disciples, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And let us close with this. How many times, you who are redeemed of the Lord, how many times has the Lord calmed the storms in our lives? How many times has His power been exercised in our lives, delivering us from storm after storm after storm? And He keeps us, and He cares for us. Let us bow down before our Lord, thanking Him for the mercy and for the grace which we have received through Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful portion of Scripture. Oh, Lord Jesus, where we see Your humanity, You fell asleep. You were weary and tired. Oh, Lord. But yet we see Thy deity, Thy great power in calming the raging seas and the wind. And oh, Lord, for we who are redeemed, You have done that even in our lives. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, You have made us alive, regenerating us, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We pray that You would use this message for Your glory and Your honor. And we pray that if one of Your lost sheep is here, or one of Your lost sheep will hear this message, that You will use it. Oh, Lord, use it for Your glory to draw them to You, we pray. And may we all leave here considering, what think ye of Christ? What think we of You, Lord Jesus? Who You are, as we've seen the power on display through these Scriptures. Glory to Your name, in honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.